music, news, podcasts, whenever you want. The WSHU app puts it all in one place, plus playlists to keep track of what you hear. And now it's even easier to connect with us by sending feedback through the app. Download the WSHU app today, free on the App Store or Google Play.
The nonprofit Save the Sound has released their annual beach grades for beaches along Long Island Sound ahead of the swimming season. Around three quarters of the 192 beaches sampled got A or B grades for their water quality. But as Peter Lindroth, director of Healthy Waters with the group, says, that leaves many beaches with failing grades.
About a quarter of the beaches that are getting a C, a D, or an F. The C, Ds, and Fs certainly show room for improvement. And if a beach is getting a C, D, or F, especially if it's happening consistently, people should read up on it, take a look at their beach, but then take those grades and discuss them with their local elected officials, their local health department, and ask what's being done to improve water quality at my beach.
Several beaches in Fairfield County got D grades due to marine debris or sewage discharge levels in the water. You can check your local beach at soundhealthexplorer.org/swimmable. This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. President Trump was in Connecticut today for the Coast Guard Academy graduation. The Nassau County executive says the governor shouldn't be let off the hook for the LARRR strike. A unique fish passage project in Connecticut is the country's first. Plus, have you ever wondered what becomes of old, discarded fishing gear? Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. President Trump was in Connecticut today for the Coast Guard Academy graduation. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports from New London.
Trump spoke for about 50 minutes to 266 graduates. He praised them for their accomplishments and went off topic a few times. He talked about tariffs, his recent trip to China, and the ongoing war in Iran.
Just like those Coast Guard legends who came before you, you will always put America first. We put America first now. We haven't done that for a long time, but we do that under the Trump administration.
Governor Ned Lamont skipped the commencement, saying he was worried Trump would make it too political. Republican gubernatorial candidate Ryan Fazio was there, but appeared to leave before Trump's speech, after his fiancée seemed to suffer a brief medical episode in the stands. She wasn't the only one. It was extremely hot in the direct sun, and dozens of people needed medical attention. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
The LARRR strike is over, but the Republican candidate for governor says Governor Kathy Hochul shouldn't be let off the hook. The New York Public News Network's John Campbell has more.
Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman says the three-day strike cost millions of dollars in economic damage and that Governor Hochul is to blame. Blakeman says the strike was a sign of incompetent leadership. State Democratic Chair Jay Jacobs says that's ridiculous. He says Hochul deserves credit for standing up for riders.
The Republicans are playing politics, and the governor is playing governor, doing the right thing for the people who use the Long Island Railroad.
The governor's office declined to provide details on the deal that ended the work stoppage, at least until the unions ratify it. But she says it won't result in tax increases or fare hikes. In Albany, I'm John Campbell for the New York Public News Network.
Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont has highlighted the opening of a 155-unit apartment complex in Hartford today as an example of how the state is ramping up new affordable housing. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Located near the historic Colt Building and Trinity Health Stadium in Hartford, the MLK apartments are 155 one-, two-, and three-bedroom units and townhomes, all of which are designated affordable. Lamont says it fits into the historic character of the neighborhood.
This is almost going back to the way Samuel Colt did it. When he built 140 units, they were small sort of townhouses, a little green around them, ways to say this is not just a roof over your head, but a place that you can call home.
The complex is owned by Sheldon Oak, a local nonprofit housing corporation, and built by Vesta Corporation, a private developer. The development received more than $11 million in financing support from the state's Department of Housing and a $3.7 million grant from the state's Community Investment Fund. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Have you ever heard the term ghost gear? That's when old fishing gear gets lost at sea and can linger in the water for years. More on a local effort to combat that is coming up. Three public radio stations, two great American musical traditions, one unforgettable night in New York. WSHU, WQXR, and WBGO are co-hosting a classical and jazz celebration of America at 250 live at City Winery, with performances by clarinetist Anthony McGill, pianist Laura Downs, and vocalist Leslie Harrison with the rich sounds of American music. June 1st at 7 p.m. Tickets and more information at WSHU.org. Proposed budgets at five Long Island school districts failed to get at least 50% of the vote in yesterday's elections. There will be another vote on June 16th, where districts can either present the same budget that failed or offer a new spending plan. Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim's salary is expected to top $200,000 under the budget the city just passed. $207,000, in fact, up from $175,000. That will make him the third highest paid municipal leader in Connecticut after the mayors of Stamford and Hartford. The top nine executives at PSEG Long Island received a total of $6.3 million last year, according to Newsday. That's regular compensation, bonuses, and other pay like car and housing allowances. Total compensation for the executives is 10% higher than 2024. This time of year is when freshwater fish move to their spawning areas, and here in our region, they sometimes can use a little help. A unique fish passage project in eastern Connecticut is the first of its kind in North America. Connecticut has a lot of dams. In fact, the state has one of the highest densities of dams in the country, making things tough for migrating fish. That's where ladders or passages come in. Traditionally, steel or concrete structures that allow fish to swim around obstacles.
If they're built in the wrong position in the river, and usually they're fixed to a specific location because they are permanent infrastructure, a lot of times they don't work at attracting the fish into them.
That's Nick Hansen with Fishheart, the company behind the hydraulic fishway. It's being tested at a hydropower station in Preston, Connecticut, operated by First Light.
It's a mobile and adjustable design, and it's meant to be floating. So we can position it anywhere in the tail race below the dam to most effectively attract the fish into the system.
It's a long system of tubes, kind of looks like a water slide that starts at the top of the dam and cascades over.
So once they swim inside of the pipelines, our cameras will detect that there's fish there, and it will close the entrance valves. So now they're closed inside the pipe. And then our AI is taking pictures, videos, it's identifying the species of fish that are in the pipe and measuring their length.
And it tells the system to speed up and push the fish through. Hansen says about 800 fish have passed through the system so far this season. This is year two of a three-year pilot program. Sabrina Garone, WSHU News. Have you ever wondered what becomes of old discarded fishing gear? The New England News Collaborative's Amy Kolb Noyes visited a Massachusetts warehouse to find out.
Kim Edwards is a fiber artist from Westerly, Rhode Island. She makes colorful baskets and other creations out of discarded fishing gear. Her business is called Rackline Creations, but she needs more material than what she can find lying on beaches. And that's why she's spending this spring day inside a New Bedford recycling warehouse, volunteering to unload a truck.
Today I'm helping them unload the rope that came down from Maine. So I've been waiting for this since last year. And once everything is unloaded, then I'll pick more colors.
Inside this box truck is over 9,400 pounds of lobster trap line from Matinicus Island, which sits about 20 miles off the coast of Maine. The delivery was expected to arrive last fall, but winter weather set in early.
And look at the pink! Oh my gosh, I'm so excited!
Eva Murray drove the truck down from Matinicus. She says the first trial was getting off the island, which doesn't have daily ferry service.
And they cancel and postpone ferries all the time if the wave height is forecast to be high, and thankfully we had a good marine forecast this week. You can only get reservations for trucks if you make them months ahead of time, so it's kind of a leap of faith that it's even going to work. So I'm sort of relieved to be here.
Here is the nonprofit Net Your Problems 4,000 square foot warehouse. Alex Buchanan, who is also a rope artist, manages the space.
Net Your Problem absorbs discarded material from the commercial fishing industry that usually ends up sitting in open yards, just wasting away. And we take those materials and find recycling plants to ship them off to so they can be reused or reincorporated into newer materials.
Half of the warehouse is filled with nets and ropes collected by Net Your Problem. The other half is filled with sorted debris collected from local beaches by the Center for Coastal Studies Volunteer Beach Brigade. Artists like Edwards, who incorporate marine debris into their work, can shop the warehouse for supplies. The beach cleanup materials are free. Rope collected by Net Your Problem is 75 cents a pound.
Some of these art materials that people use, they become socially relevant, and it seems like marine debris is an increasingly popular medium to use for artists right now.
But not everything brought into the warehouse is snatched up for reuse, so Net Your Problem sorts and ships what they can off for recycling. Nicole Baker founded Net Your Problem in 2018 when she was working as a fisheries observer in Alaska.
In some of the places that I worked on boats, it was just like nets were just sitting around in piles that fishermen were paying to store, essentially, because they didn't really have an idea of what to do with them.
Most nets and lines can be recycled because they're made of plastic. But Baker says there aren't many recycling plants that can handle ropes and nets, even if they're made out of the same plastic as a yogurt container. From her home base in Homer, Alaska, Baker sources marine waste from up and down both coasts of the U.S. West Coast waste gets recycled in British Columbia and, in the case of gill nets, Slovenia. Recyclable East Coast waste is shipped from the New Bedford warehouse to a recycling plant in Denmark.
It seems kind of far away, but it's actually cheaper and lower carbon emissions for us to do that than it would be to send it somewhere in the United States to have it recycled. And a lot of recycling factories in the U.S. just aren't set up to process that kind of material.
But Baker says all this work means nothing if there isn't consumer demand for recycled plastic products.
It really, really helps if people buy products that are made from recycled plastic. So providing that demand for the product will encourage companies then to make it and to source the plastic from us or from the recyclers that we use.
As for the gear that's too far degraded to be reused or recycled, and ropes that weave together different types of plastic that aren't recyclable, Baker says there are still options to keep that waste out of the landfill.
It can be burned to generate electricity. It can be shredded to make a concrete additive. It can be turned back into oil, which is where plastic comes from, through the process of pyrolysis.
But Baker says option number one is getting the materials in the hands of people like Kim Edwards, who can look at a pile of old rope and find just what she needs.
Actually, I just pulled this right here, which has lavender and this pink. So right now it looks very dirty, and once you wash it, all these bright, beautiful colors come out.
Colors, Edwards says, will make for a beautiful basket. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Amy Kolb-Noyes.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online, or with our free app. And give us a follow on Instagram for more on the music you hear, the latest news, and some behind-the-scenes fun. We're at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your day, stay cool, and I'll speak with you tomorrow.